So I went into the grocery store and I went to the bakery section and I grabbed a chocolate bar donut. And 'cause, Dave, those are my favorite donuts.
That's right.
And then I had bought a couple other just random things that we needed. And I was walking to the cashier, and then the cashier over by the self-checkout was like, "Oh, there's a lane open over here." And just, I don't know why I did it, why I said it, I have no clue. But I go, "I have a donut." I hold up my white bag that it's hidden in. But because, she's laughing, she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "I have a donut, and it's got no barcode." Because now I have to commit. I can't just be an asshole that doesn't have this voice. And then, so then she takes my bag and she sets it down on the little scale thing and then looks up the code and then enters it. And then I'm like, ah, very good. And then when she was done, she just was smiling the whole time. And then she
Person.
started scanning. I had like a monster and then like this shredded cheese stuff for these pizzas that we're gonna make with Trader Joe's dough ultimately. But anyway, she scans my cheese too, throws it all in the bag, hands it to me, and then I just say grazie, and then I walk away. Oh, it's terrible. I felt like such an asshole.
She's like, I was dealing with this foreigner.
Like straight off the boat.
Weirdo.
Oh, I know, it's terrible.
Oh my God.
God damn it! I get
Was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh God, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there,
I
Justin. I
know
like
what.
it.
Do you want to keep going?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here, and today I'm here with Amanda and Justin. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous, Dave. How are you?
I am doing pretty rad. It's been a pretty good week. Lots and lots happening. Definitely go to this website, geeklegacy.com, and check out all the latest and greatest in the geek world. But let's kick it off with some TV news, Amanda. What's going on?
In sad news last week, NBC officially canceled Community, though I don't know whether we didn't see that coming or not. They've kind of been on the verge of canceling it ever since it started. So it's kind of a miracle that it managed to get 5 seasons, but just short of the 6 seasons in the movie that people are always calling for. But that also doesn't mean that Community won't come back in another form. Not that Sony has made clear any plans to do so, but just because NBC has canceled Community doesn't mean it can't come back somewhere else. And considering the fact that lots of things find a second life online or on Netflix, it could probably happen. You never know. But I sort of feel like, it was centered around them being in community college, so once they're all done, it should have been over anyway.
Yeah,
So, I don't
their
know.
last season they weren't even students. They were trying to like save Greendale.
Oh,
Like,
really?
yeah, they were not like Jeff was a teacher, and they all kind of banded together because Greendale was like falling under, and they were going to turn it into like a Subway school and like Subway the sandwich makers, and they were always trying to save the school, and so it kind of wasn't in the same vein because obviously Chevy Chase had left. He had his big fight with Dan Harmon. Donald Glover left after a couple episodes this season, and so it felt like it was kind of time. I've always been a fan of the show. I didn't always like all the episodes, but what was nice is it was not a formulaic sitcom. It wasn't a paint by numbers. You're going to get this, this, and this. They took a lot of chances. There was an episode this year where it was a G.I. Joe cartoon, and they were in a G.I. Joe cartoon, and it was pretty cool. And so they have a lot of those, and they have some weird ones like the Christmas animated one I didn't really care for. They did the paintball one a couple seasons in a row, but it just took chances and it was refreshing. First that NBC would allow them to do it. A network like Fox, or they're so gun shy and they're so real into numbers and stuff. I don't think they would have let Community go for five seasons. And so they deserve a lot of credit. And, you know, community as a whole, you know, good on them for taking a chance.
Yeah, I think it's been kind of a trailblazer, and it's probably opened the door for a lot of new things that we don't even know about yet. And we'll probably look back on community in years to come and say that, yeah, because of community, we now have this. So, yay. Sorry, community. But on the bright side, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is renewed for a second season, right? Though, to be fair, the past three episodes have actually been reasonably watchable.
Oh. While that should be on the DVD box.
I mean, while I still have issues with Ward as a character, he's, even though he turned out to be a double agent, he's still remarkably boring. It's kind of mind-boggling how boring he still is. But for the rest of it, I feel like since S.H.I.E.L.D. as an agency fell under, it's gotten more interesting. So there's that. And then they are creating a new show based on the Marvel Universe called Agent Carter, which is following What's-Her-Face from
Agent Carter,
from Captain America. Which, I mean, I assume they're getting her, right?
Yes.
Actress.
Atwell. First name, I can't remember at this instance. Is it Peggy Alex. Atwell? No, Peggy Carter.
Peggy,
I don't know.
Yeah, Peggy's the name of the character.
But the actress's last name is Atwell. I know that part.
That's
yeah, yeah, it could be cool.
It'd be interesting. I assume it's going to center around her founding S.H.I.E.L.D. with Howard Stark and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be really cool if they were able to get the same actor who played Howard Stark in the first Avenger movie. That would be pretty cool. I'd be on board for that.
And also, in other news about new shows, Comedy Central announced that Larry Wilmore, who you might know as the chief black correspondent on The Daily Show, he's going to be taking Colbert's 11:30 spot. And his show will be called The Minority Report, which I thought was brilliant play on words and sounds hilarious, and I can't wait until his show starts. I'm really excited. I think he's going to be really good. Fox announced their fall lineup, which is going to include Gotham on Mondays, and they're moving Brooklyn Nine-Nine to Sunday, which kind of worries me. I feel like that's kind of the kiss of death. But I don't know. I mean,
it's a pretty good little block now. They got The Simpsons, you got Family Guy, and you got Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's kind of a fun little block of shows. Whether or not that helps or hurts them, who knows. But, well, Gotham's going to be a cool little lead-in for Sleepy Hollow. It's going to be Gotham at 8 and Sleepy Hollow at 9. So that's some fun TV.
Sounds like it's all going to be dark. Emo. Yeah.
Yeah,
cut yourself.
Also, another new show that I'm interested in is a comedy called Mulaney, which is starring John Mulaney, who's a really good writer and comedian. I like him. He has a special on Netflix if you guys are interested in watching it. His show is going to be a multi-camera sitcom. So yeah, that's the new Fox stuff. Woo, Fox. Yay.
Don't cancel me, bro.
Don't cancel me.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's funny we talked about that because, like, Gotham, looks like they put a lot of money into that show just from that little trailer we saw last week.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, you know, are they going to give it a full season? What's it going to take to keep it? Because, like, Mindy Project, that was a show. It was probably relatively cheap, but, you know, it didn't have the ratings its first season, and Fox renewed it for a second, hoping to get more people, and then it was picked up for a third. And then, like, a show like Fringe, for example, that show, the whole time in the fourth season, they thought they were going to get canceled, but then they were lucky enough to be able to have a fifth. Yeah, it was only a half a season, but they went into that half season knowing that they only had, you know, whatever, 13 episodes or 12
episodes.
Right,
it gave them a chance to tie everything up.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I'm curious what the thinking is with Fox, like how what their chart's got to look like to keep a show on the chopping block for how long.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to budget. I think that, you know, Gotham looks like it costs a lot of money to make, and I bet the meetings at Fox go, you know, you have to make these ratings with this budget, and it'll come to a point to where if they're not making their ratings, they'll say, okay, it's time to bring the Joker in, because that'll be a stunt, and that'll bring in a lot of viewers. And then if that doesn't pan out, they'll say, okay, well, we had fun, and here's your pink slip.
Yeah. Hey. Randy has joined us.
Yay!
So, what did I miss?
Nothing.
Just started.
Cool.
What did we talk about?
TV!
Alright, we're just about...
You're just about to get to Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Did you watch it, Randy?
I did indeed.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, got to see Than's almost naked body.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna. I thought they were gonna show it, and I was gonna be like, "Oh, I don't know if I want to see this."
That's funny.
I was kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was like, I asked Lynn, I was like, "Oh, do you think we're gonna see his penisless body?" But we didn't. I can't believe that I'm watching a bath, and I felt so dirty. It's funny how that worked. I was like, "Well,
because you were looking forward to the penis."
Yeah.
Oh man, when. You. When that happened, though, I was, like, yelling at my TV, don't show us he's a Ken doll! Don't show us he's a Ken doll!
Oh, man.
I did not want to see it. I was very happy that they didn't show it.
No, I wanted to see it. It was like a train wreck. I wanted to see it. I couldn't turn away. I was like, go down a little lower, Mr. Cameraman. Show us the goods.
Show us the goods. Shift your cargo. Show your cargo.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what'd you guys think? Amanda, you gave it a B+.
Yes. I just realized I forgot to change it, but no, it's a B+. It's fine.
What were you going to change it to?
I copied and pasted that from my last review.
Oh, wow.
Like, I copy and paste the formatting so I don't have to do it all over again, and then I just change everything, but then I forgot to change the grade. But no, I guess I would give it a B+, based solely on Peter Dinklage's performance at the end. I mean, the only reason... it's not higher is because of Stannis.
Oh, God. At the Iron Bank. I mean, it was cool seeing the Iron Bank, but I wish it was done differently. I would rather we see Tywin be just a little... have a conversation with them and him feel kind of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Weak and, in some way, or you know what I mean? I think that would have been cool.
Even with... Davos's speech, I don't get why they gave him the money.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're just like hedging their bets by picking both sides.
That's true. But, I mean, either way, they're losing money, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they are just not cutting their losses, but yeah, hedging their bets. Ugh, man, the first half of the episode was just so blah, blah, blah.
Is that Daenerys? That's why.
Wait, no, we didn't see her. We got to see
dragons, finally.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we didn't see her. Dragons. I totally forgot we saw her.
Yeah, I saw it.
That's how much I don't like her scene.
And the fire looked kind of lame, too, when it burned all the goats or whatever.
Oh, everything looks lame on my TV because my internet's so terrible. So Game of Thrones is always super blurry when I watch it, unfortunately. But
in that case, it probably looks better then.
Maybe it did look better. It was a little blurry around the edges, but I thought it was interesting. What's his face? His Darl Zolorak. I remembered him in the books being kind of like greasy and.
Mm-hmm.
Unattractive, but maybe I just got that impression because we're reading it from Daenerys' point of view, and she doesn't like him because of what he represents. I don't know. Do you guys have?
I remember she's really young. I mean, in the book, she's like 14 or something.
That's true, and he is a lot older.
But yeah, I definitely read it as like a skeezy, like.
I don't know. I'd have to find that part of the book in the books again, but.
No, I remember that too, because I remember it being him being like a bit of a creepo, kind of a used car salesman creepo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not in a good way, I was surprised at how like attractive and young he is.
Uh-huh. And he had a really good scene. Like, I was kind of, I felt bad.
He is very sympathetic.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, I thought I remember not liking this asshole.
But so,
and, like, hold maybe.
And when he talked about traditions, I thought he was going to refer to, like, the gladiator pit or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe that'll
come in later, I guess.
I did really like the scene with Jamie and Tywin. It really, like, shows how conniving Tywin is, because he was just waiting for Jamie to come and make that deal.
But he instantly agrees to it, and it's like, oh, I should ask for more.
And then I think the show did an excellent job of conveying the anti-Shay movement. I remember feeling so betrayed in the books. And I think that the whole time when she was testifying, I was just like, bitch! Like, total Gilbert Godfrey. No, no, no!
My wife's car!
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, what a bad lady.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. She was scorned, I guess.
Hell hath no fury.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
She was always crazy.
She was.
Yeah, bitches be crazy.
It's Tyrion's fault for picking a crazy whore.
Yeah, I sure hope with. She gets what's coming to her.
It's so sad because he loves her. He still loves her, too. As far as he's concerned, they're just using her. But, you know, but she's also, I think he's his love is blinding him to the fact that she wants to hurt him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe. I like how Oberyn Martell is like always the one asking the question, like, why is he trying to get revenge on you? So he's the one always kind of asking the questions that,
yeah, interrogating
they,
more.
Yeah,
or less.
They don't want asked.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that scene with him and Varys was pretty good too. When he's like, "Oh, I have other things. I have other desires," and then like the Iron Throne's in the background.
Looks.
I was glad that they looked. They didn't have to look, but it was funny that they did for the people that were just oblivious to what he was talking about.
Yeah. There are always those people. Mm-hmm. I like how it's like the whole thing is really just the Game of Thrones is really at this point, although no one else knows it, it's a battle between Varys and Peter Baelish.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who's smarter?
Who's going to outwit the other?
Yep. It's weird because in some ways they are both very much heroes of Westeros. You know, they're kind of the behind the scenes, great and powerful Oz man behind the curtain. And I totally dig that about both of them. Randy, as someone who hasn't read the books, how are you liking this season so far?
I'm enjoying it. It doesn't feel boring, you know? I mean, there are some slow episodes.
Another thing for the DVD. It doesn't seem boring.
Well, you know, it's real hit or miss with these episodes. When you start the season with the death of Joffrey, where are you going to go from there? You know, there's got to be... I know, and it's all leading up to something, and you guys have alluded to it and maybe even let a few things slip here and there, but I really don't know what's coming, and I like not knowing. But, I'm thoroughly enjoying this season. I find myself getting supremely upset, though, when you get to that end title screen. I'm like, no, there needs to be at least another half hour of the episode. You know, it's like I'm always wanting more, especially the way this one ended, because I so much want to find out what happens because I don't know anything about it.
Right. That's one of the disappointing things about this season is I remember last season there was a big deal that they were going to add like
5 minutes.
Yeah. So all the episodes went in like 58 minutes last year. And they actually had a couple that went over the hour mark. They had two episodes that were an hour and 2 minutes, and the rest were between 57 and 59 minutes. All the episodes so far this year have all been 52 minutes. And so it's kind of disheartening that their budget's gone up. They've shown less CGI dragons, but the episodes are smaller. And so I don't know, maybe that they're just saving that shit for the wall and it's going to go crazy style, but It's kind of weird that this season's going to end up being, you know, what, seven? It's going to be 70 minutes shorter than last season.
Right, that's just it. When each episode is 5 to 7 minutes longer and there's 10 episodes,
you basically
got a whole another episode out of it.
Yeah, but this season, they're for whatever reason, they're not doing that.
And you see in the clips for next week, the I guess that, I'm assuming that's the mountain that like cuts that guy in half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
Crazy.
Getting closer.
Can't wait.
Because the trial, but they probably won't show Tyrion's trial by combat next week.
No.
They'll build up. I bet they'll make us wait a week.
And what if they change it where it's like the Hound or not the Hound, but the Mountain versus Tyrion? That'd be funny.
You can't find anyone to vouch for him. That would be like the greatest deleted scene ever.
No,
like,
we've already seen parts of it.
He just headbutts him in the dick and then chops his head off. That'd be funny.
It would be the best. I would stand up and cheer in my seat if that happened.
Make me laugh. Yeah, it was a good episode.
I enjoyed it.
Exciting.
B+. Anything else in the TV there?
Nope. That was everything.
Heck no. Sweet. Justin, you had a couple fun little movie stuff, didn't you?
I did. Wedge Antilles. This guy. This fucking guy. Dennis Lawson. He was, according to The Courier, the actor was asked to come back to be in episode 7, and he says, he's quoted saying, "I'm not going to do that. They asked me, but it just would have bored me."
He said the only way he would have come back is if they would have made his role significantly larger than it was in the original 3 movies.
Right. And you know what? I say good riddance.
But
know,
you know,
he's Ewan McGregor's uncle.
I know that. That's not...
They really could have done more with his character, though, because I mean, he's got, granted, the expanded universe is kind of null now, but he really had quite a following in the whole Rogue Squadron series of books and video games and stuff. He became quite a major character.
Well, the reason why they nulled the expanded universe is because he turned down the role in episode 7.
Oh they said, God, "Fine, it's Lawson's fault.
We're gonna wipe your entire fucking career down the toilet."
Wedge Nobody Antilles says is, no to Abrams.
Yeah, Wedge Antilles. Nobody. Nothing. We just nulled the entire expanded universe. So
moments really, after the events of Return of the Jedi, he trips and falls into an Ewok trap and gets beheaded.
Yep.
And Wedge is no more.
He couldn't even protect Luke when he was trying to destroy the Death Star. He bailed. Fucking.
Well, he wasn't doing any good back there.
I know he wasn't. And Porkins, the guy, he went down with his ship. He was fighting till the end. Wedge Antilles bailed.
He went to that big KFC in the sky.
Yeah.
Can they bring back Fake Wedge?
Yes. That's that.
From episode 4, the other guy?
Yeah, the other guy. Everyone talks to Luke. Yeah, where everyone thinks this Wedge, but isn't.
Anyway. So yeah, Wedge Antilles. He can go fuck himself. what else we got? Some trailers. Did you guys see the trailers for the new Planet of the Apes movie?
I did. So depressing.
It is depressing, right? Makes you hate humans.
I really don't. Part of me is just like, I don't want to watch this movie where we know the humans and the apes. We know what the outcome is going to be. I don't need to see the dissolution of society and poor apes getting shot and... Mm-hmm. You know, them having to make the difficult decision to kill people, and ugh, I don't need that in my life.
It's going to be sad. Though. It does look good. Randy, did you see the trailer?
I did not, no.
It's intense.
It's very intense.
It made me very nervous.
I will look forward to being surprised when I watch the movie.
There you go. And then the other trailer that kind of caught my eye there was the... Edge of Tomorrow. There's a new 3.5-minute trailer that shows him die like 10,000 times.
It's a monster trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should appeal to a lot of people. You see Tom Cruise die often.
Yeah.
Including him just breaking his leg and like, oh, well, I guess might as well just kill you now so you wake up tomorrow.
Yeah. What about the time when it doesn't work, though? That would suck.
Well, you're not really going to know the difference.
That's true. I think it's funny how they have these crazy little battle suits, but then they still have ghetto-looking helicopters.
Can't they fly? Just got no jetpack in that, mother?
Serious. Mm.
You know what I mean? Because they even have, like, these crazy drop ships, but then there's this helicopter on a farm? I don't know. It seems kind of weird. Right?
Well, yeah, I found the whole trailer very confusing. I mean, it looks... it looks really interesting. I would go see it for sure. But while I was watching the trailer, I kept thinking, how are they going to pull all this stuff together? Because it's the trailer's all over the place.
Unfortunately, the whole movie's like one battle.
Yeah, there's like a lot going on.
Yeah, so the aliens have the ability to reset time, and then somehow he Tom Cruise gets that ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it obviously goes away because Emily Blunt's character had it before.
Yes, because she knows that this ability exists,
mm-hmm.
and that now Tom Cruise has it.
Right, he's like the one. But she used to be the one.
Right, now...
Now there's a new one. So yeah. There's two.
Does it one and only mean one and only?
Yeah, that confused me too, because in previous trailers, I thought that she also had the ability... Because she tells him to come find her. And then she's, like, training him. So then I just assumed that she had the ability too. But I guess now we think that she doesn't have it when he comes to her.
Yeah, she no longer has it.
Yeah.
Or, like lines all like, who told you to come find me? You right. did. Tomorrow.
Yeah, so how come she doesn't remember that? Okay, so that's another thing, too. How come all of a sudden... She has to know that this is the last time that she's ever going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she would remember telling him to go find me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she no longer has the power. Everyone went to go see Neighbors this weekend.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. What'd you think of Neighbors? You reviewed it?
I did review Neighbors. I thought it was really good. It made me laugh. Nicholas Stoller is the director. He directed Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek and The 5-Year Engagement. And I really enjoyed two of those movies. 5-Year Engagement was pretty boring and slow in my estimation. But Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my favorite comedies of all time. And Get Him to the Greek, you know, being the spiritual sequel to it, I found a lot of fun. Cool. And so he does real good with balancing like the themes of comedy. You know, it'd be really easy for like a movie like this to have, you know, Seth Rogen be the stoner loser boyfriend, husband, father, and then Rose Byrne to be like the nagging bitchy wife who wants to like, get your shit together. But it's not. They're kind of a team. They're both kind of fuck ups. And, you know, it's not this frat picking on this helpless couple. They give as good as they take, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just basically the whole movie is a prank war between the two. Each side escalating to the other, and I can see why it made $50 million this weekend. It was just, you know, there's been a lot of heavy superhero movies, a lot of big action pieces, but we really haven't had a really solid comedy, especially like an R-rated comedy. And this is it. You know, Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron, Dave Franco, Lisa Kudrow's in it. She has a real fun cameo as the dean, who her only concern is, like, is what they're doing going to make her school look bad? Is it going to get in the papers? And if it's not, she doesn't care. And so it is a lot of fun. And, but what I really liked is that, Nicholas Stoller, he's kind of like the prodigy of Judd Apatow. This is his first film that Judd Apatow actually didn't produce for him. And Apatow is real big on long comedies, like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, you know, Funny People. They're all over 2 hours long, and this one is, I want to say, 100 minutes. It's between 90 and 100 minutes. It's right in that comedy sweet spot, and you can tell that there was probably more to get more that they had. It's just this is what was going to make a tight, funny comedy that was going to get all of the messages across, and there's no wasted time like there is in like a typical Judd Apatow type movie.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think I gave it a B+.
What?
I'm pretty sure I gave it a B+. I'm a big fan of Zac Efron, you know, ever since the High School Musical days, yo. And he does a great job as like the king douchebag. Dave Franco is funniest as like vice president. And yeah, everyone's on their game. So check out Neighbors. It's definitely worth a peep.
It's worth the $8 to go to the movies.
Well, you know, movies are getting expensive nowadays. I would definitely say it's worth watching on TV. It's definitely worth Redboxing. It's definitely worth watching at your discount movie theater. You know, once you start getting into the $10 ticket range, you know, this isn't Godzilla. This isn't, you know, Days of Future Past. This isn't Spider-Man, where it's this big spectacle that you should really watch on a giant screen. You could probably get the same enjoyment out of Neighbors at home, but it is an entertaining. You will be entertained if you just want to go watch a movie. This is a good movie to watch, you know.
So Neighbors isn't on IMAX 3D?
No, it is not on IMAX 3D. You're just going to find this in your normal theaters, and it's worth a watch. If you like me and just like going to the movies and seeing everything, I would not be disappointed if I saw this movie.
Mm. Very good.
Like, my mom wanted to know what movie to go to for Mother's Day. She wanted to know if she should see this or Spider-Man, and so I let her know to go see Neighbors, and she loved it.
Cool. What about Godzilla? Is that a movie that you recommend to people?
I highly recommend the movie. That's actually kind of what I wanted to talk to you three about. Was, you know, we've all reviewed things for the site, be it TV, movie, video games, and Godzilla was a really hard one for me to review because, you know, on one hand, some people like to review things like on like a sliding scale, like a 1 to 10, like 1 being like the worst movie ever, like Mono's Hands of Fate, and 10 being their favorite movie. So like if it was Randy, like Raiders of the Lost Ark would be 10, you know, 0, 1 would be probably Temple of Doom. And just checking to see if you're there, Randy.
Still here.
And but in that rating scale, there's really no way. You're always going to be biased towards Raiders, or in my case, well, use me as an example. It was Empire Strikes Back. You know, I would always be skewed. You know, nothing's going to be as good as that. And just for Randy, nothing's ever going to be as good as Raiders of the Lost Ark, right, Randy?
Right.
Sentimentally, you know, all that stuff. He's never going to like be fair to another movie, and so you can't really do it that way. And so the way I've been kind of looking at it when I review movies is, you know, is it a well-made film and did I enjoy it? And when it comes to Godzilla, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, obviously you don't give two shits about the people. It's got Bryan Cranston, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, Ken Watanabe, but you don't give two shits about anything they say. Nothing come out of their mouth you care about. All you want to see is monster on monster violence. And this movie gives you three monsters. You get two bad monsters and one good monster, the good monster being Godzilla. And just as you're about to lose faith in the movie and get bored and not want to watch any movie, bam, Godzilla shows up, fights monsters, and the rest of the movie you just have this stupid grin on your face. You're actually cheering in the movie theater. You're applauding. And so...
I don't know. Sounds pretty ridiculous to me.
Which part?
All of it.
Well, it's funny. The first role the crowd I went to was very into it, and they were cheering, and we were having a great time, hooping and hollering. First thing they got a reaction was Ken Watanabe saying Godzilla, and he has the thickest accent in this movie. But once you see the monster, once he comes into screen, does his little WWE flex, and just goes to town beating the shit out of these monsters, it's pretty incredible. And so I just wanted to pick your guys' brain. Like, what's your guys' process when you go to review something? Like I know, Randy, you reviewed The Hobbit way back in the day. You know, I didn't know if you had, like, if it was just, yeah, I like this movie, so I'm going to give it a good grade, or if there was anything else that went into it.
Well, it depends on the baggage that it comes with. And The Hobbit comes with the baggage of The Lord of the Rings, which is an excellent series of movies. So that was the benchmark that I used to compare it. So I think every movie is really going to be kind of different in what I compare it to. And it's usually kind of genre-based, I think. And a lot of the things that I compare things to, like you mentioned, Raiders with me, Empire with you, it's stuff that's near and dear to our heart. So we're always going to be kind of a harsh judge when it comes to that. I like your method for doing it now. Is it well made and did I enjoy it? Me, I'm just a bitter guy, so I don't know. I think most movies just get on my nerves and I don't watch movies anymore and I don't very often, and I don't know. I just don't have time for that. It's all a bunch of nonsense. All a bunch of dudes in rubber suits.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Well, what about you, Justin? You review a lot of video games for the site. What are you thinking about the subjective nature of criticism?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I try and do it off of excuse me, off of, you know, game, like kind of technical aspects in a way, like gameplay, overall, like a fun factor, or I guess replayability would probably be a good thing. And then just overall, did I enjoy myself is kind of how I like to do it. And so gameplay, replayability, and, you know, did I enjoy myself? So graphics isn't always a thing. If it's going to have these, you know, pimp out these amazing graphics, like, oh my god, look at this, is, you know, true next gen, blah, 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 there better not be any screen tears. The mouths better match the voices. The voice acting better be amazing. You know, things of that nature. Because that's the kind of stuff that takes you out of the story. So assuming it doesn't have any of that, then, you know, it's great. But with movies, I kind of like to compare them on a yearly basis. I don't think it's always fair to go back to some of my all-time favorites. Like in this case, The Winter Soldier was my favorite movie so far this year. So now everything that I watch, I like to compare to that. That's my benchmark for 2014. I just think that's the fair way to do it for movies.
That works.
Yeah, it's pretty fair.
I walked out of there thinking, oh my god, this movie was amazing. It was practically perfect. There was nothing that I didn't like about it. And that's pretty amazing. Especially considering I hated the very first Captain America. Or the first Avenger. I just didn't like the style at all. I've since come around, but the first time I saw it,
Well, you don't like period pieces either, though, do you?
I don't. But at the same time, I've come around, and now I can watch, what is it, The First Avenger? I've actually seen that one more than any of the other Marvel films. Because I was like, what am I missing? So I just kept watching it over and over again. And I've probably seen that movie like 12 times now.
And you still don't like it.
I don't, but I like it more than The Rocketeer.
It's that hack Joe Johnston director.
Yeah.
To the Lost World.
Watch it again.
That fucking guy, man.
Because when I saw Winter Soldier, I just did not get why the Cap cares so much about Bucky. Because I thought Bucky was kind of an asshole in the first Captain America movie. But did I just read that wrong?
I think so.
He was trying to keep his little friend out of trouble.
Right. They've been best friends their whole lives, and we came into their lives as they, you know, were blossoming into manhood. And, you know, they were going off to war.
Ooh, I like where this movie's going.
So you missed out on... I think
we watched different movies.
You missed out on 20 years of friendship. So that's... But remember, he protects him from bullies at the beginning. He tries to get him a nice girl. You know, he wants to... He leaves. He has every intention of leaving and going off to war, but he wants to leave his friend in good hands, you know, like, hey, let's have one last hurrah before I take off. Let me introduce you to a nice girl. Stay out of trouble. Keep your head up. You know, you're going to make it. That's how I always took their friendship.
Yeah, me too.
On a positive note.
I need to watch it again. I haven't.
I'll watch it with you.
I might just be reading into it because I'm overly sensitive. And, I mean, Bucky was a little... smarmy.
What?
I think he's just smarmy.
What does that mean? What's smarmy?
Well, he's like the good looking, bro, so of course he's going to be a little bit of that. A little snarky, a little swarmy. You do a lot of TV reviews for this site. What's kind of how you look at reviewing? Because you do series, so I mean, you have a little bit more leeway.
Well, I feel like the way I approach pretty much anything is how it's written. You know, because I'm a writer and I'm a very avid reader, and I feel like a story can't succeed if it's not written well, and so that's usually what I'm focusing on when I'm watching something, or if I'm playing a game too, whether it's written well or not. Most of my issues with anything boils down to the writing. If I have a problem with a movie or a TV show or a game, it's because the dialogue is clunky or the interaction between two characters doesn't seem real, or just the situation in general wasn't handled in a way that makes sense. in my mind. So, to your point about Godzilla, I probably won't like that movie because it's not about the writing. It's about the monsters.
It's not. But the second he comes on screen, I defy anyone not to just like ear to ear smile. Think, dude, this movie's rad. There is some genuine like cinematic. There's some genuine cinematic brilliance. Like when the monsters are fighting, and like, oh my god, this is the raddest thing ever. See, that was my big thing. Was yeah, I mean, I because to kind of your point, like all of the dialogue is, you know, Godzilla is. He was created by some kind of nuclear experiment in the 40s. You realize that Godzilla has to fight these guys, but you don't really care about anything that Bryan Cranston says. And it's a shame because he's such an amazing actor, but he could be reading the ingredients to, like, Captain Crunch, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, where's the fucking monster?
That's how I think about reviews when I'm reviewing stuff.
That's good. That's cool. We kind of all have similar and different methods, and I think they're all
perfectly valid.
So subjective. People get so butthurt when like you don't like something they like, or when you like something they don't like, and they have to email you and call you dirty words.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, it's impossible for everyone to like all the same things all the time. Just because I'm not super into Star Wars, that doesn't somehow invalidate your guys' enjoyment of it. Mm-hmm. It's just I didn't grow up with it, so it doesn't resonate with me as much as it does for other people who grew up with it. I didn't see it till college.
I can't even imagine a world.
I mean, I'm sure I saw it when I was younger, but it just didn't really, like, make an impact. I probably just saw it on TV.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you guys were able to shed some light on that. Do we have a fun list?
We do have a fun list.
Ooh, what kind of list?
This one is the top 10, what were they thinking, place names. Mostly like towns, cities, roads, that kind of thing.
Like just real life?
Ridiculous names.
Like Coruscant?
Or like no, places? not in the sci-fi universe, in on Earth, in our universe.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
On Terra Firma.
So we're just going to dive right in. And I'm going to just throw this out there at the beginning. Like, more than 3/4 of these, I think, are in the UK. So keep that in mind. Take that with a grain of salt. Number 10. There is a small little town of about 670 people called Wet Wang.
Nice.
And that's in the UK. They're called Wet Wangers, the people that live there. It's a small little village that's existed for centuries, and it's got a ridiculous name. Next, number 9 on our list, is in Michigan, here in the States. There's an actual town called Hell.
Huh.
Why anybody would name their town that is well beyond me. But number 8 kind of makes up for it. It's a fun one. This one's in Australia. Titty Bong.
Titty Bong.
Titty Bong.
Wow.
To a Justin's favorite thing.
Yeah. jeez.
Number 7. All right. This one's actually in the States as well. In Maryland, there's a town called Accident. That's like naming a kid Accident. That's a little on the nose. Number 6 takes us back to Britain with a road called Butthole Road. And I'm not even joking. It's spelled B-U-T-T space H-O-L-E road.
What? Think of all the jokes the rival high schools across, like, in the other cities just must make fun of them.
You'll be sad to know.
Ram it up butthole.
In the last decade, though, the street name was changed to Archer's Way to prevent further embarrassment.
All right.
Also back in the UK, number 5 brings us to a small town called Middlefart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you name a kid you don't like.
Also in the UK, Sandy Balls brings in number 4.
Is it a beach town at least?
You know, it's found in Hampshire, owing its name to the time of Henry VIII. So it's been there for hundreds of years.
Did Henry VIII have Sandy Balls?
The sign that they show, I guess so. The sign that they show is kind of like a little camping kind of sign, like a little roadside sign with a picture of a tent and a little trailer. Sandy Balls. Number three, this is another fun one here. This one's in Scotland. Twat. But with two T's. T-W-A-T-T.
Double dirty.
Now we're talking.
Now, this next one, also from the UK, and this is like in Gaelic or Old English or something. It meant something different, but Whitmawatmagate, which is translated from something else, which means what a street.
Hmm. When you said Old English, I thought you were going to say like El Twate.
No. Then the last one, number one, this is long. This is incredibly long. I'm trying to find the country that it came out of. Anyway, I'm just going to read it. And the sign, the picture that they have posted here shows a sign. It's just like meters and meters and meters long of just gibberish letters. So forgive my pronunciation here, anybody who may be from this fine town. Taumata Watakangahanga Kawau o Tamatia Turi Pukaka Piki Maunga Horo Nuki Pokai Wanua Ki Tana Tahu.
And put that on an envelope.
Yeah. I'll get a one of those address labels. Slap that thing on there. You have to pay extra for that, though.
So it's super thick.
It is ridiculous. It's got like a page break. Long. Oh, it's in Wales. So that's also for the UK.
That's funny. I was thinking it was like some Polynesian place.
Yeah, I was going to go. It sounded like
very
Samoa.
Polynesian as well. Yeah, I totally thought it'd be some island somewhere. Nope.
Are we a bunch of assholes?
Yeah. Yep. That's too bad.
Heard all that Hakuna Matata language, and he suddenly thought like, oh, Pacific Islanders. Fun list as always, Randy.
Yay. That is a fun list.
Where did you get good that times.
List? Is that something you had in your back pocket for a while?
No, you know what? That one I was just flipping around while we were chatting earlier, and I found that courtesy of top10buzz.com.
Yep.
Well,
do you guys want to play a fun game?
Sure. I like fun games.
All right.
Only if it's fun.
Well, in the in honor of the box office champion Neighbors this week, I thought it'd be fun to test your guys' knowledge on R-rated comedies. Ooh. And so what I was going to do is I was going to give you the tagline or maybe even a little small brief synopsis of some of our favorite R-rated comedies from over the years. As soon as you know the answer, just shout it out, and you know, we'll see how many you guys can get. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll start off with an easy one. This is the tagline. Boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets pie.
American Pie.
All right, on the board with Justin. All right, next on the list. Some guys just can't handle Vegas.
Hangover.
Hangover, good job.
Dang it, not quick enough.
All right, relive the best 7 years of your college education.
Van Wilder?
Nope.
Oh. Animal House?
Animal House, I heard Randy first. All right, next one's going to be a speed one. An exclusive golf course has to deal with a
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, good job, Randy. All right. Comedic tale of company workers who hate their jobs and decide
Office
to...
Office Space.
I don't know, I think I heard Randy just a tiny bit early, sorry.
Where's the flag?
We'll have to get the replay later.
Yeah.
All the fun of college, none of the education.
Old school?
Old school. I heard a man at first that time.
Ah, that's a good one.
All right, here we go.
Earlier. So.
At a big campus, a group of bullied outcasts and misfits.
Nerds. Rent of the Nerds.
Rent of the Nerds. Good job. Justin ties it up with Randy.
College?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. They were the Land of Landas.
Yeah.
Try Lambs.
All right. For some reason. Two aimless middle-aged losers still living at home are forced
to... Stepbrothers.
I heard a man at first on that one. All right, next one coming up. You don't mess with the law. The law messes
Super Troopers.
With you. Super Troopers. Good job, Randy. All right. This one, I'm going to give you the tagline, and if no one gets it, I'll give you the synopsis. Love is in the hair.
Don't mess with the Zohan?
No. All right, I'll give you the synopsis here. A man gets a chance to meet up with his dream girl from high school, even though his date with her back then was a complete disaster.
Oh, Something About Mary.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Love is in the hair.
Why is that the tagline?
Because she puts
jizz. Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. God, I love that movie so much. I can't believe I didn't even think of that. It wasn't even on my brain.
Yeah. All right, next one up. If you're going to get an advanced degree in partying, why graduate?
Is that Van Wilder?
That is Van Wilder. Good job, Justin. Justin ties it back up with Randy at 4. Man has got 3. Close game here. All right, next one coming up. On July 15th, they're coming to your wedding. With or without?
Wedding Crashers.
Good job, Randy. Randy's got 5. Justin got 4. Amanda got 3. One more. Love is never having to say you're sorry when you make a sex tape with a woman, then mail it to your girlfriend.
Road Trip.
Road Trip. Good job, Randy. Randy wins 6-4-3.
Good job, Randy.
Good job, Mr. Pancake. And avoid any kind of silly protest by winning by 2. So, just in case Amanda answered first.
Yeah. Asterix! Yeah! Bam. Unleash the Fury!
Unleash the Fury!
Oh my god, you know what's a brilliant line in that movie, in Road Trip, is when he's like, guys, I think we're lost. And he's like, no, it's a shortcut. If it were easy, then it would just be the way.
The way.
I was like, dude, that makes perfect sense. That like changed my whole life. I was 20 when that movie came out, and I was like, man, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that movie at the Universal movie theater in Universal City Walk on the same day I saw the Smashing Pumpkins in concert.
Oh wow,
it's a big day.
That is a big day. I think I want to say that I saw it at the drive-in with Lynn. Just before.
Did you see it or
started? No, we watched it. It was good. I want to say it was like a double feature with X-Men, but I could. No, okay, it's not right.
I'm saying it'd be a pretty good double feature.
Maybe that's right. When did X-Men come out?
2000.
I know that, but I mean, do you know the month?
Yeah, it came out May 2nd, 2000.
Okay, that was totally a double feature with X-Men because Road Trip came out on May 19th. So I saw both at the drive-in.
Nice. Yeah. That's a pretty good double feature.
It is. Not bad. I ended up marrying her.
Because of that.
Yep.
You took me to a sweet double feature in 2000, so I want to marry you.
And Breckin Meyer's in that movie, and he's a nice young man. Took the time to accommodate us that one time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a funny guy. He's in Franklin and Bash. He's funny in that. And he executive produces Men at Work, which is a pretty funny show.
And he was in Garfield, motherfucker.
Does anybody else have anything they want to add, get off their chests?
Nope.
Oh, we got to pick a winner for the Godzilla graphic novel.
Oh, yeah.
Awakening.
Oh, yeah. Do you have your tabulator wheel?
Yes. Spinning?
Spinny, spinny.
Let's see. Hold on.
Quick, let me rig it. Let me make a comment real quick.
No. Put a cork in it, Zane. So Zane Carrick is going to win a free copy of Godzilla Awakening, courtesy of Legendary Pictures and Warner Brothers, I guess.
And you reviewed that, right, Justin? It was a good book, right?
I did. I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
It's fun. It's actually kind of cool because it takes place over the course of several decades, and it's each decade kind of has a new artist. So you could kind of see different pictures there, different illustrations.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What decades does it take place in?
Let's see.
Or is that a spoiler?
No, not really. It's like the 50s through the 80s.
Oh, nice. With Godzilla.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy, and check out the other podcasts available in our network. There is the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Janes and myself, where we highlight a week's worth of video game news every Friday. And there's also the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comic books currently on their pull list. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews, and you stay fabulous. Thank you.